Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, a Thanksgiving special with some memorable moments.
Richard, may I say that's the greatest question and the greatest answer the whole time I've been playing this game, and in recompense for that compliment, I expect that we get much easier questions.
Okay. Today from Seattle, Washington, with special guest Murray Horowitz, a man of firm and consistent belief.
That's like the worst question I've heard.
So come spend some time with syntax and stuffing, puns and pumpkin pie. Share with our panelists the thrill of answers correct and the chill of answers unknown.
But here's the kicker. I'm not even embarrassed. Because I've become inured to embarrassment.
Yes.
On this show.
That's true.
This show has a way of doing that.
That's true.
Yes. Come play Says You after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The Arab League has made an unprecedented move against a fellow Arab nation. It's voted to impose sanctions on Syria, aimed at pressuring Damascus to end its deadly 8-month crackdown on protesters. They come on top of several rounds of sanctions imposed by the United States and the European Union. The Arab League sanctions include halting cooperation with Syria's central bank and stopping flights to the country. Damascus says the move is a betrayal of Arab solidarity. Protesters in Egypt are back on the streets today, demonstrating against their military rulers for a 9th day. The demonstrations threaten to overshadow parliamentary elections that are to get underway tomorrow. The vote is part of the ruling council's plan to transfer to civilian rule next year. But Merritt Kennedy in Cairo reports that demonstrators in Tahrir Square want the military out immediately and are torn about whether to participate in the elections.
Protesters in Tahrir Square see the ruling military council as an obstacle to real democracy in Egypt. Some say they plan to boycott so as not to give legitimacy to the generals. They say the election will produce a parliament with little real power. Others plan to vote to ensure that parliament has seats that represent their views. Today, the two largest revolutionary youth movements have planned million-man marches to the square. They'll continue to demand the ruling military council step down, as polling booths around the country are preparing to welcome voters tomorrow morning. For NPR News, I'm Merritt Kennedy in Cairo.
The last of the three American students to arrive back in the United States after being arrested during the protests in Cairo says charges that they threw firebombs at security officers are lies.
None of the three of us Americans never held, prepared, or threw any bombs or even rocks or did anything to harm anyone or anything.
19-year-old Derek Sweeney was greeted by his parents and others at St. Louis International Airport last night. He says his first hours in Egyptian custody were probably the scariest in his life, but that conditions improved. The deaths of 24 Pakistani soldiers in an alleged NATO airstrike near the border with Afghanistan this weekend is driving relations with Pakistan to new lows. The U.S. and NATO trying to ease tensions over the airstrike that killed at least 24 Pakistani soldiers, as the BBC's Nick Childs reports.
The NATO Secretary General has joined a list of U.S. and alliance officials offering their concern and condolences as they try to limit the fallout from this incident. In his statement, he said he'd written to the Pakistani Prime Minister, and he's perhaps gone furthest in describing what happened as a tragic, unintended incident. Mr. Rasmussen said he supported the investigation now underway by NATO-led forces in Afghanistan, and he went on, "We will determine what happened and draw the right lessons." He added that NATO remains strongly committed to working with Pakistan. But as the Pakistanis buried their dead from the incident, anger within the country's leadership seems unabated.
The BBC's Nick Childs reporting. This is NPR. New Hampshire's largest newspaper is endorsing former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. The union leader published its decision today on its front page. Retailers hope to keep Black Friday momentum going this holiday season. So far, retail sales are higher than last year. ShopperTrack, which measures retail traffic, says sales on Black Friday were up nearly 7%, but retailers also got off to a strong start last year, only to see sales drop off. There's still time to send holiday care packages to troop stations stationed in the Middle East. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports the Postal Service is also making it easier to send them by lowering the mailing rate.
Crackers, canned pasta or soup, granola bars, foot powder, chapstick, socks, and hand lotion are just a few of the items recommended for care packages to troops deployed to the Middle East. U.S. Senator Mark Kirk of Illinois, a reservist in the U.S. Navy, recently returned from Afghanistan and says the troops can always use encouragement.
There's stuff that comes from home, latest DVDs, magazines, and most importantly, the things from mom and dad, the sisters and brothers. That make all the difference.
The U.S. Postal Service deadline for shipping priority and first-class holiday packages to the troops in the Middle East is December 3rd. The post office also reduced the cost of mailing flat-rate boxes for the holiday season by $2 to $12.95. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
The Occupy protesters in Los Angeles don't appear to be heeding warnings that they abandoned their tent camp on the City Hall lawn. They're facing a deadline of just after midnight tonight to leave. The mayor says he's sympathetic to their cause, but that the camp must be closed for public health and safety reasons. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Gilchrist Foundation in support of NPR's commitment to coverage of the arts.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Seattle comes from the Fairmont Olympic Hotel, historic elegance in the heart of Seattle, on the web at fairmont.com/Seattle.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. From the stage of Town Hall Seattle in Seattle, Washington, welcome to a Thanksgiving edition of Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. She's been looking forward to Thanksgiving with relish. Just check out the dressing. Francine Akbar. He's one sweet performer, a regular candied ham, Mr. Murray Horowitz. And his life is rife with crushed possibilities. So many mashed potatoes, Mr. Tony Khan. Who's the leader?
The undressed Francine.
Francine, well, Captain. To my left, team two, she's a saucy little number, our own mini spice cake, Carolyn Faye Fox. She has a secret career as a songstress under the name Ginger Chutney, Miss Paula Lyons.
Ginger Chutney.
And he was raised telling bad jokes. You might say he was cornbread, Mr. Arnie Raisman. Who's the leader of the pack?
Mr. Cornbread, right here. Okay.
Mr. Reisman will lead. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. This year we celebrate Thanksgiving with a round of famous turkeys. For 10 points, please tell me why each of the following rightly deserves gobbler status. Okay. Carolyn?
Yes.
Galloping Gertie.
Galloping Gertie? What's Galloping Gertie?
Is that some animated figure on a Maalox commercial?
No, it's not, strangely enough. No.
They seem to know what it is. What's
this Galloping? This is not a who. This is an it.
It's a bride.
And I know you've seen this picture a million times.
Galloping Gertie.
So, do you have any idea what Galloping...
Apparently not.
No.
Nothing at all. What Galloping Gertie is...
Is it a bird?
The band does know this.
Everybody knows this. The audience knows it. The band knows it.
Oh, I'm surprised because the pictures... The minute I say it, you'll know exactly what it is.
Oh. I'm guessing. Is it the Tacoma Bridge collapse? It's the...
Oh!
Oh, wow.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, very famous.
I guess.
Very
famous.
Yes.
I guess it is, actually, yes.
It's 50 years ago.
Richard, why is it called Galloping Gertie?
Have you ever seen the film of the bridge?
Yeah, with the car on it.
In the wind, wavering in the wind until it finally falls apart. Yeah. Galloping Gertie is the nickname of the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, which broke apart as a result of aeroelastic flutter.
And where is he today?
Yes.
Richard? Richard?
Yes.
Why do they call it Galloping Gertie?
I guess it just galloped in the wind.
Gertie, like girders, you know, it's up to...
Girders.
Girders.
Bravo.
Very good from the audience.
Did we get points?
That's, nobody gets any points, but didn't we have a lot of fun there? Because you're not going to get this one either, but I love these. Tony, the famous turkey, turn on.
Turn on.
I loved finding out. I remember this, actually.
A famous turkey. It wasn't one of the turkeys that was pardoned by the the first.
But this was a turkey, all right.
It's got nothing to do with Dr. Timothy Leary, right?
It has nothing whatsoever to do with Tim. Well, only in a
turn on
bizarre way. Does anybody in the
I'm drawing a blank.
Well, say it.
Does this have anything to do with somebody trying to get people to turn on their television or radio and nobody paid
attention? It
has
everything to do with television, but that's...
Television,
Has anyone ever heard of Turn On?
Yes.
What was it?
It was a television program that aired once and was canceled.
Not only was it a television show that aired once and was canceled, in some markets, it only made it to the first commercial. Absolutely true.
Really?
In Denver, among others. And I saw the show.
In its entirety, I bet.
Sitting in the tube room with Steve Livingston at Dickinson College, we watched this show in absolute hysteria, but evidently the taste of 18 and 19-year-olds is not the same as the rest of the country.
What was the show?
It was the greatest flop in the history of television. It was George Slatter, who did Laugh-In, was asked by ABC to do another more racy kind of show, and boy, was it ever, because in some markets, literally in Denver, it didn't make it to the first commercial, and it was taken off the air. So it was that's the greatest flop in the history of television, probably, and I think quite undeservedly so.
Yeah, but we have to point out that we've not yet been on television, so... You know,
that's true. Try this one, Arnie, and you got to think this one out, but it's possible. Famous turkey, the single entity league.
The single entity league. I'm assuming this is a sport that
it isn't. It absolutely,
I mean, a sport that's not even around anymore.
It's not around anymore, and
they try to make a league.
It's pretty recent.
Horseshoes.
I'll give you a hint. It was, in a way, football.
You mean the X?
It is exactly.
Extreme Football League we're talking about?
The XFL.
The XFL.
It's exactly right. Why was it called a single entity league?
Well, we don't know.
Because there wasn't like an American Football League and a National Football League?
Even more than that.
Because there was just one team that played against itself?
It was one team. That
it was owned by a single entity.
It was owned by a single entity.
Vince.
Right. It was one owner for the whole league.
It was one owner for the whole league. That's exactly right.
And
you did get the football, and I'll give you 5 points for it. The XFL was the first sports league to be composed of, not of several franchises, but operated as a single entity. And despite millions in capital and months of hype, it lasted one season, and away it went.
Five.
How many points?
5 points for that.
Okay.
Try this one, Francine. Famous turkey, Ms. Anthony Regrets.
Ms. Anthony Regrets. Sounds like
Ms.
Anthony Regrets. Ms. Anthony Regrets.
Anthony, Ms. Anthony.
Ms. Anthony.
I know what it is. I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, this is a tough category. All right.
It's a tough category.
Ms. Anthony.
We thought for Thanksgiving, we'd.
Ms. Anthony. Is it a recent faux pas of some sort?
Not a faux pas so much. It is recent. It's not
something
so...
to do with entertainment, right? Or show?
Nothing. No, nothing whatsoever.
Anthony.
This was actually a headline.
Yeah.
A headline.
That appeared in the newspaper. Ms. Anthony Regrets. I think the other side knows this.
Well, let him have it.
The failure of the Susan B. Anthony dollar.
The Susan B. Anthony dollar is exactly right.
Oh,
that
was
the headline.
I discouraged her. It's my
fault.
Oh,
he's screwed.
But I have to tell you, I think Susan B. Anthony was one of the great entertainers of American history.
The Susan B. Anthony dollar was completely unaccepted by the American public. Its size and consistency made it so similar to the quarter that confusion was frequent. You want to guess the only place they were a tremendous hit?
Nevada.
Las Vegas is exactly right. They were great for the dollar slots, but that's about it. Ms. Anthony regrets was the headline in the newspaper when... Try this one, Paula. Famous turkey. The Great Baggage Breakdown.
Oh, that is the Denver airport, the baggage system that was supposed to just automatically send bags all around the airport and land in the right place.
It
never
them,
worked once. They took
all
it
of them and made
year.
Them into one bag.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. The newly designed automated baggage system at the airport in Denver was supposed to streamline everything. Instead, bags were misrouted, carts overfilled, luggage jammed the conveyor belts, and my best blue blazer is still out there somewhere. And finally, Murray, famous turkey, Carry, C-A-R-R-I-E.
You know this one, sir.
Yeah, this is an ill-fated Broadway musical based on the motion picture of the same name.
You're exactly right, Murray. That's very good. Not the successful movie. This was an attempt to turn the horror classic into a Broadway musical. Problems abounded. The bucket of pig blood used in the climactic scene and the final scene had to be replaced by people dabbing red paint on the actress's face because she can't pour stage blood on someone wearing a body microphone. The show was such a notorious turkey, it provided the title to a survey of theater disasters titled... Not Since Carrie. 40 years of Broadway flops. Very good, you guys. 10 Thank points. You. Tough round, but well done.
Time for the Lloyd.
Let's go on to round two, played with a little musical help from the Garfield High Jazz Ensemble. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one will have the actual definition. The other two will get blank cards. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Francine's team. 10 points up for grabs to Francine, if she can find the bluffer, or to you, Arnie, if you can fool her. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Toby. T-O-B-I-E. Toby. Folks? This is Richard. You may have heard that Says You is coming to Charlotte, North Carolina, the first weekend in January. And you may be aware of our trip to Riverside and Thousand Oaks, California in February. But until now, you could not have known that Says You will return to San Francisco the weekend of April 20th for live springtime performances of the show. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So remember that Charlotte, North Carolina in January, Southern California in February, and now San Francisco in April, the spring caravan of cajolery from Says You. Says You returns after this.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, has Occupy Wall Street peaked, topped out, or is it just getting started? We'll ask where the 99% chant goes next. Plus, Congress may soon open up your cell phone to robocalls. Will this put a telemarketing hell in your pocket? That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
On Point, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers.
You know, I'm having all kinds of problems trying to trade in my old car.
Oh, dealer's still insisting that it run, huh?
Exactly. If it ran, I wouldn't have to trade it in.
Well, if your old car won't leave the driveway or won't leave it reliably,
donated to this station through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
You'll help pay for the programs you love, and you'll pocket a tax deduction.
Pretty good, huh? Here's how to do it.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, WPLN.org.
You're listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Light rain in Nashville and 59 degrees. It's 20 minutes after 9.
Says You says thanks to the Fairmont Olympic Hotel on the National Register of Historic Places and on the web at fairmont.com/Seattle. The Garfield High Jazz Combo. Dan Homaggi on piano, Allison Wood on bass, Andrew Mulherker on sax, and Dave Ackerman on the skins. I just have to say, if that sounded smooth, that was Perdido. That's what won them the Lincoln Center Ellington competition last year. First place in the country. Garfield High Jazz Ensemble. It's a raise. Also want to take a minute and thank our scorekeepers, David Robinson and Jeff Crenshaw. Thanks for keeping score for us, you guys. Really appreciate it. We have had a little time with the word Toby. We will go first to Carolyn Faye Fox.
Toby. Well, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, and sometimes it's not even that, because sometimes a cigar is inferior. It's especially stinky, it's wrapped a little too tight, or it's an irregular size, and that cigar is a Toby.
A cigar that's wrapped just a little too tight. That's a Toby.
It's an irregular.
An irregular. Okay, an irregular, an inferior cigar is a Toby.
A Toby.
Arnie. Toby.
A Toby. Well, we can go to, let's see, they make cigars down in some parts of Florida. We can go down there. It's actually a small bottom-feeding fish used for bait to catch larger fish. Not in the Northwest,
you
but in the southeastern part of the United States.
A small fish?
No, in parking lots.
Yes, in the water.
It is a small fish used to catch bigger fish. It's a Toby.
You might say that.
I might, and I did.
You might, right.
Paula, Toby.
Well, actually, this is an expression that has fallen from usage, and it's too bad. I mean, Alice Roosevelt Longworth would not have liked this at all. She of the famous, if you can't say something nice, sit next to me. Because Toby means simply, and don't ask me where it came from, means pleasant conversation.
Pleasant conversation.
You were having a Toby.
Yes, come
Toby.
And have a Toby with me.
Mm-hmm. I can't come to the phone right now. I'm having a Toby.
That's delightful. Pleasant conversation. It is either that, a small fish used to catch a bigger fish, or a cigar that's wrapped just a little too tight. Francine, that's the choice. What do you think?
I'm just going to go for the fish.
Okay. That's that's bold.
Boy, that's almost as quick as we do it on the radio.
But,
it's almost as quick as we do it on the radio.
On the radio.
Any reason why?
Why?
Yeah.
I think I've heard that
so
expression.
So when I go out and I got to talk to the guys in the back and they want to know, you know, like, I'm along with this.
I just think it's right.
Ah.
You don't think...
I see. Okay.
You don't think Rudyard Kipling ever would have said a woman is only a woman, but a bad cigar is a Toby?
You know, I think it's the only... Yeah, Toby, I think, it's an affectionate term for something you're spending far too much time with, you know? But I think... I think cigars definitely qualify. You know, people start to come up with little nicknames for things. Why it would be wrapped too tight?
I don't want to be rude, but I think you're giving this too much thought.
Yeah. Well, thanks at least for implying that what's going on here is thinking.
Okay. I don't know. Are we not
let it be
put off
by
the specificity
cigar,
of southeastern United States? Tokyo?
Nah, that's
jive.
Camouflage. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but why would he put it?
Why would he put it in?
Yeah.
To just decorate the answer.
To fool people like you.
Mm-hmm.
No.
We have another show tomorrow morning. So.
And we're doing it now.
Yeah. If you please.
Francine, you're...
You're the captain, Francine. If you want to make this
I'm
giant
willing,
mistake...
I'm willing to fall on my fishing hook.
You're willing to step up. You're willing to go out on a limb. You're willing to say, Arnie, it's you, it's the small fish used to catch the bigger fish. You're willing to do that.
In an unlisted zip code.
Yes. I am.
Unlisted zip code.
Arnie, that's what she's about to do. You must now tell us, is that in fact what a Toby is?
Toby, please fake a definition.
As well you did.
Haven't said it best, doesn't
she? Audience, what do you think?
What?
I think that's pretty split. So someone up there was telling the truth. Who was it?
Toby. An inferior cigar.
That's what it was. Very good, Carolyn.
But here's the kicker. I'm not even embarrassed. Because I've become inured to embarrassment on this show.
It's true.
This show has a way of doing that.
That's true.
Yes. In keeping with our theme today, football rivalries, going home, gluttony. These are some of the things common to many American Thanksgivings. It is in the spirit of shared experience that we offer a round of common threads. What common thread ties together the following people, places, or things? Carolyn, what ties together P-E-A, marble, walnut, golf ball, grapefruit, and softball.
And what?
Softball.
These sizes of hail?
They are exactly sizes of hail. Very, very.
Very good.
I didn't even...
Excellent.
I didn't even get a chance to repeat them, which I will now. Pea, marble, walnut, golf ball, grapefruit, and softball are U.S. Weather Service designated sizes of hail. Very good, Carolyn. Try this one, Tony.
Yes.
Common thread. Timothy.
Timothy.
Basil.
Basil.
Mortimer.
Mortimer.
Gus.
Gus.
And Jerry.
Jerry.
Timothy. Oh, I just heard it in the audience.
Timothy, well,
fairly loudly. Timothy, yes. Was that you, Nancy? Yes, it was. We know the audience personally. Everyone that comes, we know them. Timothy, Basil, Mortimer, Gus, and Jerry.
Well, I was thinking Timothy, Grass, Basil.
Are they all ventriloquist dummies, I think.
Yeah. All ventriloquist dummies?
I don't think so. I don't.
No.
I know Jerry Mahoney and Mortimer Snert is where you were going. I don't. That's not what we have.
And I have three ventriloquist dummies named Gus, Timothy, and Basil.
Right.
It does have a biblical kind of ring to it, though.
Right. Yes, but it doesn't have anything to do with that. No.
Right,
Saint Gus.
Saint Gus was a big...
Yeah.
You have Timothy, Basil, Mortimer, Gus, and Jerry, and to that I'll also add Stuart.
Stuart.
Stuart?
Oh, it's all the guys that dated Francine.
This was...
Just some of them.
Oh, I don't know if they're going to get it.
Jerry.
Gus.
Does the other side have any idea?
Not a clue.
Mortimer.
I know the audience knows.
Really?
Sing it out, audience.
Mice.
Yeah, the audience knows, all right.
It's, mice.
They are all
mice.
Cartoon mice.
Cartoon mice.
They are all
mice?
Cartoon mice.
Mice.
But
I didn't know.
Yes, I get it.
All right, Arnie, only you.
Only
you
me.
Would I give this to.
Oh,
you.
Oh, gee.
What's the common thread? Guthrie. G-U-T-H-R-I-E. Guthrie. Carver.
Carver.
C-A-R-V-E-R.
Yeah.
Alexander. A-L-E-X-A-N-D-E-R. And Morganfield. M-O-R-G-A-N-F-I-E-L-D. Guthrie, Carver, Alexander, and Morganfield.
Are we talking about McKinley Morganfield?
We are.
Muddy Waters. Are you talking Raymond
Muddy,
Carver?
Muddy, Woody.
Woody Guthrie?
Yeah.
Raymond
Muddy,
Carver?
Muddy, Woody. Dopey and Doc. Here we go.
Watch this.
Wait a minute. They're all the president's names.
For instance.
Bear with me on this.
Watch this.
McKinley Morganfield. I don't know all of this.
That's
McKinley
right.
Morganfield.
That's right.
Is Muddy Waters. Grover Cleveland Alexander was a great pitcher.
Yes.
In the Hall of Fame.
George Washington Carver.
George Washington Carver. Thank
exactly.
You. And Woody? Woodrow Wilson Guthrie.
Means
Woody. What? Woody Guthrie. Sports.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Arnold Riesman, that's our style so special. You have all presidential names, Woodrow Wilson Guthrie, George Washington Carver, Grover Cleveland Alexander, the great pitcher, and McKinley Morganfield, who is Muddy Waters. Very good, Arnold.
How many points does he get for that, 15?
Yeah, he really should, but no, just 10.
Richard Massey, that's the greatest question and the greatest answer the whole time I've been playing this game, and in recompense for that compliment, I expect that we get much easier questions.
Okay.
It's true, though. It's
all right, then try it.
Right? That's good.
Try this one, Francine. Bob White. Chickadee. Whippoorwill. And Morpork.
And what?
Oh, yeah.
What? What is what last?
Morpork. M-O-R-E-P-O-R-K.
Yeah.
Bob White. Chickadee. Whippoorwill. And Morpork.
Okay. Common threads.
What's the common thread?
They're birds.
Well, they're all birds. That's true.
Well, that's it.
That's not enough.
Duh.
Well, they all have distinctive calls, obviously.
Why are they distinct?
Because their name is based upon the sound
that
supposedly
that
they
make.
They
yeah.
make.
Yeah, more
that is exactly right. 10 points. Exactly right.
All right, let's come back here.
However,
they are all
in Finnish.
They are all onomatopoetic birds, yes. You have the bobwhite, the chickadee, the whippoorwill, and the morpork, which was a former bluffing word on
this
show.
We've heard that one before, yes. Yes,
that's right.
That.
And yes. The Australian bird, its cry is morpork, morpork.
Morpork.
Try this
one,
Paula.
Is it a carnivorous bird?
Common thread. Red.
R-E-D.
R-E-D. Black.
B-L-A-C-K.
Yeah.
Q-U-E.
Silver and dust.
Dust?
Red, black, silver, and dust.
Dust, D-U-S-T.
D-U-S-T.
Yes,
D-U-S-T.
We can't hear real well.
Silver, thread.
Anything to do with horses?
No, not that I can think of. Hi-ho dust?
No. No, that's, you know, big red, black beauty.
Dust.
You're right, it's all like dust jacket.
No, I don't think
dust.
So.
Dust.
Okay. I'm looking for a prefix or a suffix.
Do they all join the same word?
Yeah, a prefix or a suffix. Here.
Yeah, they all join.
They
red
all join
wing,
the same
black
word.
Black wing, silver wing, dust wing. No.
Oh, not wing.
Red
dust.
Bird, black bird, silver
Ouch,
bird. Dust.
I just
no.
heard it in the
red
audience.
Red
dust.
Plane.
Dust cover, dust jacket. No, dust.
No, red.
Believe Tony has it, or does anyone know the Heimlich maneuver?
Right. Right. I don't know what else is dust. Going on.
I don't think
dust
they're going to get it. They're on the right track.
Dust.
I'm going to have to go to the other side. Tony?
I was only kidding when I said that. The only word that came to mind was bunny.
Bunny. Bunny?
Bunny?
Well, he dust fell dust. For it. Say bunny.
Bunny.
Yeah, the old
bunny.
Silver bunny. No. I.
No. Silver.
Any help from the audience?
What?
Clouds is exactly
clouds.
Right. Clouds. Red cloud. Black cloud, silver cloud, and dust cloud. Very good. Native Americans, Rolls Royces, and of course, dust clouds. Very good. And finally, Murray tried...
I just wanted to say before you asked me this question, that's like the worst question I've heard.
Originally, it was yours. I switched up.
Thank you.
To give you this one.
I better. I'm so grateful already.
Which I hope you get, because I like this answer. Common thread. H. Ross Perot.
What's that sucking sound? Imagine being known for that.
Yeah.
It's getting late.
Try this one. Come on, try this.
Yeah.
H. Ross Perot. Gerald Ford. Bill Bradley, Steven Spielberg, Neil Armstrong, and John Tesh.
People Common who should thread. Have kept their first careers.
Yeah. H. Ross Perot, Gerald Ford, Bill Bradley, Steven Spielberg, Neil Armstrong, and John Tesh. Guarantee you'll like this answer.
Yeah, I bet.
Wow.
Big ears?
What do you think? Well, it doesn't have to do with basketball. Gerald Ford wasn't a basketball player. He was a football player. Mm-hmm. And H. Ross Perot looked like a basketball. Those big ears. Our youngest son, when he was 6 years old, it was that presidential election. Can't remember where he ran, 92, I guess. And he used to come, I mean, he had big ears when he was 6 years old, and he used to come in the kitchen and go, "It's just that simple." He was great. He was a star at age six. You know what? He's in federal penitentiary now.
Is it Eagle Scouts?
They were all Eagle Scouts.
They were, in fact, all Eagle Scouts.
Quite honestly, they ran an ad campaign of all the famous people who were Eager Scouts.
Is that right? Yeah. Very good, Francine.
In the New Yorker.
Let's go on to round four, which is Francine's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Arnie, your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word geo.
Geo.
G-I-O. Geo.
Oh, is there a consonant shortage?
Folks. When it says you coming to our town, where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at saysyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. Says You pauses. We'll be right back.
Actor Danny Burstein has played a wide range of roles, from casino owner Lolly Steinman in HBO's Boardwalk Empire to his current role as Buddy Plummer in the Broadway revival of Follies. A new cast recording of Follies with music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim comes out November 29th. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Danny Burstein about his career in theater and television. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekday mornings at 11 and weeknights at 7.
How we see the world is how we value it, says Ellen Davis.
And poetry is a way to rediscover the lost art of being creatures. I'm Krista Tippett. Join me for an hour of learning and slowing down with the Mad Farmer poems of Wendell Berry and a new way to take in the poetry of Genesis, the poetry of creatures. That's the next On Being from APM.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock. You're listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Coming up in about 20 minutes at 10 o'clock is Studio 360. Right now, the time is 9:39. It's 60 degrees in Nashville.
Reminder, Says You takes off coast to coast in 2012 for live performances of the show. First up, Charlotte, North Carolina in January. Then on to Southern California for February dates in Riverside and Thousand Oaks. And this just in, April shows in San Francisco. You can find out when, where, and how to get tickets at saysyou.net. And while you're there, why not contribute a question? Tell us what you think. All this and more at SaysYou.net. The Garfield High Jazz Combo. Thank you, folks. And you can play bass for me any day. That was just excellent. Goodness gracious. Did you see them swinging there? Did you see them just absolutely getting into it? Thank you very much. We've had a few moments with the word geo. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, geo is one of those words that raises the question, not what is this, but why on earth would anyone want to find out what it is, and then how did they? Geo is a sheep tapeworm.
What's sheep tapeworm?
I know the acoustics are difficult here. A sheep.
Oh, I thought you said a cheap tapeworm.
Not to the sheep. Tapeworm.
A sheep tapeworm? Did I hear that correctly? A sheep tapeworm. Okay, a sheep tapeworm. A geo.
Fine.
Francine?
It's a recent and very minute model of an Italian car by Fiat.
A Geo.
So when they say step on it.
Literally. Very unfortunate.
You could.
A diminutive Italian automobile is a Geo.
I was just there and saw them everywhere. Geos.
Okay. Murray. Geo.
Why don't they have, you know, etymologies on this? Give the derivations of this word, because I'm really interested to know why this. But this is a term from space travel, and it is the view out the window of a spacecraft.
The geo. Oh. Is the view out the... What, was that a round of applause there? View out the window of a spacecraft is the geo. It is either that, a diminutive Italian automobile, or a sheep tapeworm. That's the choice, Arnold. Go to war.
Go to war. I really
the
want to go to...
The jokes write themselves, Arnie. You can...
Yeah. All right, I'm going to get outvoted right now. I really wanted to go with that tapeworm.
You did? I think
but
he's just trying to...
Looking out the window?
Yeah.
It's looking out the window...
Makes sense.
The
I'm
geo.
Fascinated.
What's the geo? All right, let's go that way. I mean, I used to know space, but maybe it's too late. What do you think?
Now you're just taking it up.
Now I'm just taking it up.
I don't know. I don't know. Sheep. I like the sheep tapeworm too. But...
You like the sheep tapeworm. It's not a popular parasite.
Except why would it have its own name? Maybe you're right. Well, maybe we should just go with the spaceship thing. In the interest of...
We don't believe it's the car, right?
No.
No.
All right. I'm going to go with Murray.
Murray, they think that GEO is the view out the window of a spacecraft. Is that, in fact, what GEO is?
The view out the spacecraft is black.
They have nothing.
That was a bluff.
Wow.
Someone else was telling the truth. Audience?
It's the tapeworm.
Almost everyone in the audience is going for the sheep tapeworm, Tony.
Said with an alarming sense of familiarity. By the audience, and frankly, I do not want to meet you afterwards. Because you're right.
Very good. That's what we like on a Thanksgiving Day show, a sheep tapeworm.
We at Says You want to take a moment to thank all our listeners for their long and enthusiastic support and to wish all a happy Thanksgiving. This week's Spotlight Round is one of our own choosing, one that celebrates that Thanksgiving theme with a round that dates back to the turn of the century. On that chilly November afternoon in Lincoln, Massachusetts, Francine Akbar and Barry Nolan joined us for a round of familial phrasing. So as you curl up together and listen to those moments, please accept a Says You holiday wish that your turkey be moist and your giblets tender. Please define the following familial phrases. Carolyn, prodigal son.
Prodigal son is one who leaves home and hearth, misbehaves, then comes back home begging forgiveness.
And looking for his room again.
And is welcomed with open arms.
Yes. And is welcomed with open arms. Very good. That's the 10 points.
And is usually reelected.
And strangely enough, from the Bible. It's actually the rebellious child who returns home repentant and is welcomed back. Tony, grandfather clause.
Well, we all think of Kris Kringle as the very first Santa Claus.
I knew you were going to go.
But it was actually part of a family tradition.
Yes.
Well, you know, you often hear of things being grandfathered in so often that I find that rather than explain it one more time, I'm going to ask Barry to do it for me.
A grandfather clause is a clause that recognizes the existing privilege, rank, or income of some already present condition and acknowledges that that will continue, but from now on, things are going to be different.
10 points. Very good. Well said. It is allowable continuance based on practice prior to legislation of a practice now forbidden by that new legislation. People engaged in an activity are exempted from rules affecting that activity that were enacted after they began.
But it's also applied to contractual agreements.
And it's also applied to old people's toenails, which can be very tough and claw-like.
She's spelling claws differently. Isn't it?
You know, it wasn't bad enough, but then you explained it. Arnie.
Okay.
Sob sister.
A sob sister. Well, it actually is an old journalistic term,
mainly
in America, going back almost 100 years to women reporters who wrote heart-wrenching stories about the underprivileged and the dispossessed and disenfranchised.
And now it has come to mean?
Advice columnist or something?
You know what? I'm so very good. You guys are really getting this
advice
one.
Advice to the loved one.
It began as a journalist, not necessarily a woman, but a journalist who wrote sob stories, sentimental news stories, and it now has come to mean an ineffectual do-gooder.
Yeah, all right.
Very good, Arnie. Yeah. Francine, mother of pearl.
Mother of pearl.
Mother of pearl?
The only reason I did that is so I could say mother of pearl. Yeah.
Yeah. I think her name is Sophie, wasn't it?
Pearl's mother was the mother of pearl.
Well, mother of pearl is a organic substance.
It is.
Found in the inside of shells, slivered off, and used to decorate evening bags.
Is it slivered off and used to decorate evening bags?
Mm-hmm. Among other items. Yeah.
Well, then 10 points. Very good. Would you like to describe it at all?
It's a luminous, pearlescent surface.
Motherish, right? Eternal.
Yes.
Isn't it basically the same stuff, ultimately, that if applied to an irritating grain of sand would be a pearl?
Yeah, I'd like to know about that. It is a shell with an iridescent luster, maybe light to dark gray, cream, or bleached white. Paula, boy, am I going to hear about this. Farmer's daughter.
It's a punchline.
It is a punchline. I mean,
it's actually defined in the dictionary.
The farmer's daughter is defined in the dictionary as the farmer's daughter. She's the one the traveling salesman is always going to try and form a closer relationship with.
Yes, thank you, dear, for being so delicate. I appreciate that.
Right, yeah. She's into furniture and she's going to show him a good deal on the couch.
Did it.
10 points, that's exactly right.
Where do you go with this?
That is exactly right.
Did it start in vaudeville?
Yes.
There used to be one of the famous vaudeville routines was based on the traveling salesman and the farmer's daughter, and the name of the skit traditionally was The Gun Ain't Loaded.
The Gun Ain't Loaded. That's exactly the dictionary actually defines a farmer's daughter as an innocent young woman as if raised on a farm, completely naive to the ways of the city. But thank you for doing it so gracefully. And finally, Barry, what's the meaning of Bob's your uncle?
Bob's your uncle.
I know the British, hear this much more often than we do, do you have any idea, any help from that side?
We're obviously clueless.
On that
is this side. Accompanied, Richard? Give me a clue. Is this accompanied by putting your index finger to the left side of your nose?
Not in
does
the slightest.
Does it have a sort of Milton Berle element to
Absolutely it? Absolutely nothing. No.
I mean,
a non sequitur. Any
help from the other side?
No. I'm assuming it's the proper name Bob. You're not playing off.
Well, there's a proper name involved. There is a specific Bob involved here.
Coin. Yeah.
Morgue Robert, actually. But does anyone in the audience know?
A cop? It has to do with police?
Frank Coakley, our engineer, does. What is it, Frank?
It's a British term, meaning it's all done. Go ahead and tape the show and edit it together and then Bob's your uncle.
Well, 10 points for the engineers. Very good.
Excellent, Frank.
Yes. The radio debut of Mr. Frank Coakley. Very good, Frank.
The question is why?
It is from Lord Robert Marquis of Salisbury, a British Prime Minister.
But of course.
It's attaining something very easily.
I see.
It's who you know things get done easily when Bob's your uncle. That's our Spotlight Round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack research team into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can let us know your choice by following the Got a Good One link on our webpage at sayu.net. That's SAYSYOU. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's conclude our tribute to overstuffing with some culinary crooning.
Culinary crooning.
From the clues provided, please sing the answer to the following.
At
you
this
mean,
hour?
You want a crouton?
I guess. Thank you very much for that hiss. I really like that. Carolyn, what Dickensian longing provides the theme to this round?
Food, glorious food. Hot sausage.
All right, we'll give her 10 points. Food, glorious food. From the musical?
Oliver.
Very good. Oliver, right. Try this one, Tony, and let's get into the singing nature of all of this. What Gershwin song compares fruits and tubers?
Fruits and tubers.
No. You say potato, I say potato. Very good. Feel free to join in anytime.
Did you ever see the old Dudley Moore routine over there?
No.
Where he just sort of blindly
walks. Oh, yes. Right.
Sees it on the piano.
The guy goes into audition and they hand him sheet music and he goes, you say potato and I say potato.
There's a punchline to this joke. I can't keep silent any longer. The story is told on Broadway. This girl comes in. She hasn't seen it before. Says, you say potato. I say potato. You say tomato. You say, thank you very much. We'll be in touch, Miss Levine. She says, Levine.
Oh, That's one of the two jokes he told that I haven't heard. That's great. Arnie, no one else has a chance at this, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. What New Beats classic... New Beats was an ode to the staff of life.
Bread, I know. We got bread.
It's bread, okay.
What New Beats classic?
Oh.
New Beats?
This was a real oldie.
What does that mean?
New Beats.
It's not the group Bread. We would know those songs.
No, it's the group New Beats.
It's the group New Beats. It's not the group Bread.
Right.
Oh. This is a real arcane one. That's why I gave it to you.
I see.
Anyone on the other side?
Don't play it on your granola. I don't know.
Anyone in the audience? I like bread and butter. Exactly right. Very good.
Yeah.
You like toast and jam. Try this one, Francine. What contribution would D.D. Sharp have made to this category? Please sing it.
D.D. Sharp.
Yes, Sharp have made to this
category. Mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's actually Nat Kendrick and the Swans, but you
the mashed potatoes.
Doing the mashed potatoes with me.
Potatoes.
One of the worst renditions I've ever heard of mashed potatoes. That's right, 10 points. Very good. All right, Miss Lyons.
Yeah.
What song mentions candy, apple, plum, apricot, figs, dates, cakes, pomegranate, peach, pear, and Easter egg? Huh?
Come on to my house. Come on to my house, my house.
Come on to my house, my house. I'm gonna give you candy.
Oh, really?
Come on to my house.
Come on to my house.
Rosemary
sung by George
Clooney.
Clooney's aunt.
George Clooney's aunt is right. Rosemary Clooney. And finally, and I hope you get this one, Murray.
Me too.
What is Kraft's, K-R-A-F-T-S, Kraft's contribution to this category and to our culture, for that matter?
Velveeta?
K-R-A-F-T. Kraft.
K-R-A-F-T.
What's Kraft's contribution to this category?
So it's a jingle, right?
And to our culture, for that matter. The band knows.
Wait, be cool. The band knows.
Wait a minute. Kraft.
Is there a cheese song?
It's not something you would normally associate because it has its own brand name. It's not... Something you would normally... Okay.
It's Kraft
it's
food.
It's a brand of Kraft food.
Yes.
And there's a song that goes with it.
Oh, there's a song that everybody in this room knows and I hope will sing, yes.
It goes with what?
What is Kraft food?
I don't know.
Wait a minute.
About food. Oh, I don't know
J-E-L-L.
If they're going to get it.
No, that's not Kraft.
It's General Foods.
I'm going to give you 5 points because you knew it was a jingle. You got to there. Right. But I'm going to have to go to the entire audience for...
Oscar Mayer Wiener.
Everyone would be in love with me.
Oscar Mayer Wieners. We gave you a generous 5 points on that, and it's a good thing we did. It's a tie game. Congratulations for both teams. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there and this audience especially. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks to Brendan Callahan, Jeff Hansen, Eric Tom, and all our volunteers from KUOW for their invaluable assistance. Scher and Salkind are the writers. Antonio Oliart is the Secretary of Sound. We close this week with the uplifting thoughts of Winston Churchill that true success is going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. See you next week. You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
You've been
been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find the complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. Support for our programming made possible in part by the WPLN Producers Circle. The generous financial support of Producers Circle members helps fund unique local programming produced by Nashville Public Radio.
The Metro Emergency Communications Center reminds you that 911 is for life-threatening emergencies only. If you call 911 by mistake, never hang up. All hang-up calls must be returned, which ties up 911 resources. To avoid calling by accident, lock your cell phone keypad and never store 911 on speed dial. In Davidson County, 862-8600 is the number to call for non-emergencies.
The time is 10 o'clock. It's 60 degrees in Nashville.
Today in Studio 360.